Welcome to the Orlando Lions Den Podcast. Your number one Orlando City podcast. For the fans, by the fans. For the fans, by the fans. Keeping you in the know on all things Orlando City since 2018.
Yeehaw. Hello, hello. Welcome to another edition of Orlando Lions Den, our first episode of season six, I believe. And we are making some changes around these parts of this neck of the woods, I guess you could say. So we're on video. We'll be getting more active on YouTube and Instagram nowadays. So get excited. Welcome to season six, y'all. I'm here with my boys, the other Alex and Mike. Or the first Alex or second Alex, you could depend. I don't want to get offended there. But how we doing, y'all? Let's start with you, Ryder. How we feeling, brother?
New season, new year. Hope springs eternal, all those platitudes. But it's just fun to bring it to the fans in a fun new way. And we're going to be doing this a lot more. We're going to be a little bit more consistent on having a certain amount of people on, having a schedule. And you're going to have to watch our beautiful mugs. I don't know. For me, I am so sorry you have to look at my face almost every week, but there's some beautiful people on this podcast.
Yeah,
I'm not one of them.
Together. I was just doing some construction work, some new wall hanging in the house, some improvisation. So
that frame was in packaging 20 seconds before we hit record.
Yeah, we got it. We got it. And I'm in my father-in-law's office. So I had to take down the St. Louis stuff and add the Orlando City stuff. So, Mike, what's up, my man? Season two for you. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm excited for some changes. Obviously, we're bringing in the streaming element. You'll see that as the season goes on. Video to go along with the pod. I was always told by my mom that I have a face for radio. So, sorry. I'm really excited, though. It's not. My mom is brutally honest.
Hey, you're beautiful in your own special ways. So.
Hey, you know, I got people that love me, and that's the most important thing. And I'm here with two of them right now. The other three that aren't here with us, we're going to get them on future episodes. So obviously, JJ, Eddie, and Cleon.
JJ will be wearing a shirt.
Yeah, we're on video now, so we used to always make jokes about JJ not having a shirt on. We put it in a new contract for him. JJ is contractually obligated to wear shirts, so, you know, it's exciting times.
Yeah, we'll see if he just takes the fine on that one. Who knows?
He might, a couple times.
He's here just so he can't get fined.
Those are the dads with the kids that don't go to sleep at 8 o'clock, so... You know, it's a little bit tougher for them to get on, but they'll be on. Of course, we'll still be doing our spaces on X or Twitter, whatever you call it nowadays, and making sure that we have our Den After Dark back this year as well. So, been a short preseason, only a couple months, so it's right back at it. We'd have a lot to cover from the preseason. Before we get into it, we'll get into our sponsors who are back with us. We have the Epic Mortgage team powered by U Mortgage with Leo Gonzalez. If you're looking to get a mortgage, have questions about a mortgage, refinance, rates are starting to go down. So if you're interested in buying a house in the hot Florida housing market, make sure you contact Leo at 407-844-7696, Leo Gonzalez. And then, of course, we have Mr. Eddie the Commish, as you know him on Twitter, Eddie Cruz. He is our man for property and casualty insurance, y'all. So if you guys have any questions or need to re-look over your policies, I know my insurance goes up every year, my auto insurance, and Eddie is my agent. He shops it around, makes sure I have the cheapest rate. So if you need new house insurance, new auto insurance, it's important to have life insurance. Eddie can get you some really affordable policies, you know, some term life insurance. I got a $100,000 policy through him. So he's a great guy for your insurance as well. And then still with Field Turf USA, Tarkett Sport Company, they still represent us. Really one of our original sponsors. So happy to have them back for 2024. Come a long way. I can't say that 6 years ago when JJ and Eddie and Cleon and myself were sitting in a dark back room at a dart bar and pool bar that we would be we'd be on some platform looking like Around the Horn, basically, from ESPN. So we've come a long way, and we hope you guys like the changes that we're putting in now. So
I need a chalkboard. Just put a chalkboard right behind me. I have something on it every week.
Yeah. That's what. Yeah, you need to pull the Woody, right? That was the guy. Woody.
Yeah, Woody Page.
Woody Page. Yep. I mean, that could be in the works for sure. Last thing that we're going to announce is we have a new distribution deal. We will be on a platform as well as this that will be sharing our content. We have gone in with Goals TV. They're on YouTube, on Twitter, at Goals_TV. Their mission is to really make soccer cool in America. They're just starting up this year. They have a lot of exciting things that they have planned. And we will be sharing our stuff on their platform. They have invited us to do that to represent Orlando City, which we found pretty cool. So you can give them a follow and see all of our stuff there as well. Did I miss anything?
No, man. I think you hit everything.
We're going all right so far. Can't complain. Okay, let's hop right into it. Off-season acquisitions. It's been short, but it has been busy. We obviously saw a departure of our captain in Mauricio Pereira, back home to Nacional in Uruguay, right? Yeah.
Correct.
And yeah. And he is back home. So, you know, after a few years as our captain, he's our number 10. He will not be returning in 2024. But Orlando City quick to make a replacement with that. We'll start off with our acquisition of Nico Ladero and how we feel about that. Coming from Seattle, obviously has a lot of MLS experience under his belt. He's won MLS Cups and represented Seattle very well for the last 4 or 5 years. So he's been a strong part of their team. And for me, I'm happy to have Nico here. To me, it seems like an upgrade on Mauricio. Maybe not a huge one, but it is a good hole that we could fill very quickly. Let's have you guys discuss your opinion. I want to hear really about Nico. That's been our main signing so far. Mike?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's really been our only signing so far outside of I think we have a homegrown signing that happened as well. But I really agree with a lot of what you said. In the fact that Nico, a little bit on the older side, but I still think that he's going to be a better Mauricio than Mauricio was, in the fact that he is more goal dangerous. He's willing to take those shots. He's still willing to go ahead and find the open spaces and is going to be good at line breaking passes, which is one of those things that we definitely need, especially with a guy like Duncan or Faku or Angulo breaking in behind. So I'm happy with the signing. And I know some people will sit there and be like, oh, but you know, he's old. I'm okay with him being a little bit on the older side. We know that he's not what he was when he first came to Seattle and he completely transformed their franchise, but he's a guy who's won in this league. He's a guy who's won in CONCACAF. He's got a CCL, which is now going to be the CCC. And he's obviously, you know, he's got that pedigree that we want. And for him having old legs, they did the beep test the other day. He finished in third. Like, for those of you that don't know what the beep test is, it has got to be one of the most exhaustive tests that can be done to see how good players' cardio is. For him to be pushing, 35 years old right now, and for him to finish third in the beep test going up against some people as young as 20 in our group, just goes to show you how fit he is, how ready he is. I think the only two players that beat him, from what I saw on club socials, were Ivan Angulo, which should be a shock to nobody. That guy could run for frickin' forever. And Alex Freeman, who we all know is when he gets an opportunity to show what he can do on the field, the kid's a freak athlete. Obviously, son of a former NFL player, homegrown in our system. So I'm excited about the Nico signing. I'm excited to see that his fitness is still there and is doing well. And I feel like there's a, you know, there's a lot of stuff circling out there right now, but there's still a lot to feel good about.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of stuff circling on.
We'll get to that.
We'll get to our rumors a little bit later. Ryder, what are you thinking about Nico?
I love Nico Ladero. He's creative, but he's a threat. And he's not just going to dump the ball off. He's going to get creative. And the fact that he's still fit and still able to run with the best of them is a huge step forward for us. And anyone that thinks, oh, he's old, he's over the hill, even if he is, we've got him on a one-year contract with a one-year option, and it was a free transfer. We gave up nothing to sign him, and I think that he is a great veteran presence, not only in the locker room, but on the field. He's going to dictate games. He's going to keep cooler heads when some of our players or other players get angry and things come together. He's going to be that veteran presence that lets cooler heads prevail. He's going to teach these young guys, because we've got a lot of young homegrowns, and he's going to be able to teach them and show them. He's had 190 appearances for Seattle in this league. He's, like Mike said, he's got a CCL championship. I think it's a great move to, you know, direct like for like replacement of Mauricio. And it's especially funny because I originally thought that Ladero was going to go back to Uruguay with Mauricio, because if I recall, they were actually pretty good friends.
Yeah, so, that was definitely the rumor for a while, was both of them going back. And then they said that Nico was going to go to Miami, and then he came here. So
Miami can only get away with so much when it comes to the salary cap and all that jazz. So
yeah, and kind of piggybacking off of the Fort Lauderdale jokes too, it's also important to note that Nico has been a DP since he came to Seattle, and through, I think, all seven of his years in the league, because I think he has been here that long now. I might be a little bit off on that. But he's not a DP with us. We got him on a TAM contract. I think that's important to note too. Not that we have a whole lot of salary cap flexibility at the moment, but it is important to know that we did still keep that third DP slot available, even though we are a little bit limited in how we can use it. But again, we might see, there might be some things brewing that in the future here, that in future episodes we'll have a lot to say about. So
it's DP experience and creativity and leadership for a TAM price, plain and simple.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's with the DP, like you said, Mike, I don't know, for those of you that don't know, with the DP spot, right now we are limited. We can sign a restricted DP, which is basically a max TAM player at the most, and or a young DP, somebody under 20, the age of 22. So what's the salary on a max TAM player this year, Mike?
Max TAM player is going to come at just under 1.7 million. So yeah. So
not
it's still
DP,
a high salary. Yeah. So if we want someone that's older,
Luis Suarez.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you want someone a little bit older to fill that DP slot, their salary or their adjusted salary with transfer fee would have to factor in to be under 1.7 million. That's where it gets tricky, is the transfer fee part of it. I could talk for hours about this stuff, and I'm going to refrain from doing that. I might go on a little bit of a soapbox rant at the end of the show.
Yeah, save it for your shout out.
Yeah. So, but yeah, outside of that, I'm very excited about this signing. I think he's going to do bits for the team, and we'll fit in well with the guys. So,
yep. And we'll move the next biggest move of the offseason, at least in my opinion. There's one or 2A and 2B, but it's got to be Oscar Pareja getting put back in. Oscar in officially through 2025. So a 2-year contract with Oscar. He deserved it, plain and simple. As soon as we heard the news that he got extended, first thing I tell myself is, hey, this is what I wanted. I will not be changing my mind on this, no matter what the results go. This is what he deserved. This is what we asked for, the majority of the fans, especially after the run that we had, finishing second in the entire league last year. This is what we wanted as a fan base. So no matter what happens as far as the results go, I'm going to stick with Oscar no matter what for the next 2 years, 100%. And I'm excited. I'm excited to have Oscar back. I like the way that he plays, that they play soccer after the first few games last year. I like having most of the team back with a person like Nico that can pretty much slot right in. So Ryder, what are your opinions on Oscar coming back?
I'm glad that we got him for a couple more years. I was a little nervous that even if we did get him, it was going to be very limited contract. And I do not recall, was there an option associated with this as well? Or was it just straight up 2 years? I don't remember seeing anything about an option. So it seems just pretty
2 years. And you got to remember, like you said, there's how many other openings were there? 7, 8 different MLS coaching openings. So
there were a couple of teams that came a knock in, and I don't think we were going to let him go. I think we did good by him. I think we did good by what he's done here, and we gave him a mandate to basically take what we have already and build on it for 2 more years. If you look at a lot of the contracts that have either been renewed or re-upped at this point, a lot of them go through 2025. We're not handing out 1 year contracts right now to our key players. Nico is option for us through 2025. And that gives us 2 more years to build on what's all been happening.
And they gave, what, Faku a 3-year deal, right, through 2026?
Yeah, 2026
And the number 10. So he takes over the number 10.
Yeah, he takes over Mauricio's number 10, which is nice. And I know a lot of people like to go ahead and be like, that means he's our 10. We're not shopping for a 10. I'm like, guys, it's a number. Like, I know the 10 comes with responsibility, but when we're referring to the 10, we're referring to playing that position. Matt Doyle on Extra Time even said this last week on his show, and I agree with it. I don't think Faku is a 10. Like, he can wear the number 10. That's perfectly fine. He is a goal-scoring winger. That's what he excels at. Playing on the right wing and inverting, he's one of the better goal-scoring wingers in the league, and I think that's going to be his best position. I think that if we're going to end up seeing someone playing the 10 based off of what's on the roster right now, it's going to be either Nico Ladero or Martin Ojeda, unless things change and there's somebody else coming in. Those are probably the names that we're going to be looking at playing the position of the 10. Again, just a number. Doesn't mean that there's not things that are going to change or he's going to be playing the 10. A lot of people get really fixated on stuff like that, I feel like.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. It's going to be playing on the right wing with that inverted winger role. So a couple of big extensions, re-signings that we've had. We did purchase a loan. I know a lot of people were nervous about Builder Cartagena and Ivan Angulo. Mostly for me, Cartagena. Looks like we got Angulo on a decent price though too. So we'll be able to keep that stretch winger out there. That guy that just has that unlimited motor, like you said, finished top two in the beep test. So we'll have Angulo back, and then Cartagena as well. Going to be super important for us, in my opinion, that we kept those. You know, those guys are ascending talent, and I'm excited to see what they give us. You know, that Builder Cesar combo was deadly last year, and now they'll have a full offseason under their belt and ready to come back, knowing that they're going to be the dominating two. So I'm excited to see that.
Yeah. And I want to add on to that for a second. It's fair to say that Wilder and Cesar were up there for being one of the best midfield tandems in the league last year, especially from a defensive standpoint. So I agree. I think it's incredibly important that we're keeping those two together. And as you said, we heard, you know, we didn't get like quote unquote official numbers, but from what we've heard from our sources, we got real good deals on Cartagena and Angulo to stick around. So we're definitely hats off to the front office for keeping those guys in the building. Cause I think that's one of the most important things is that they're staying here. But they also did it in a way that didn't break the bank. It's likely not going to cause us a whole lot more in, any kind of like roster, cap space hell or anything like that, to keep them. Cause I know that was what we kind of debated, at the end of last season when we knew that their loans were ending. If we could only keep one, if they're going to be expensive, we'd probably say Cartagena and let Angulo loose. But being able to keep both of them, I think is probably the best outcome we could have hoped for.
And doing it on deals that are lucrative for both sides. We still paid decent amounts, but it wasn't breaking the bank. It was done across multiple years. It allows us to spread that out and allows us to build rosters over time. So looking at what we've had, yeah, we're a bit limited right now, but we still have the ability to build using pieces that we're already familiar with.
Those two are going to be huge for us. We re-signed Michael Halliday. Gave him an extension, and then also got some more fullback assistance with OCB Homegrown. Everybody loves to play the kids, right?
Hey, I will say, what is it? Tahir Reed Brown, I believe, 17 years old, right?
Yep. Joined the academy in 2020.
Go ahead, Swag. I cut you off there.
No, I he's 17 and 4-year contract, you know, for a homegrown player that with Mikey, I don't think they gave him that long. You know, we just had to re-sign Mikey till next, we got him through next year, but the guy showed a lot of promise. You know, he's one of the better prospects, for his age group. And we loaned out Luca Petrasso. So, you know, we got rid of a fullback. Everybody was kind of worried that we weren't going to have or get another fullback in because, you know, the demands are pretty, cut and dry. You know, everybody wants a DP, either striker or 10 or, and a center back. That's what we need. That's what everybody's in agreement with. So having, you know, this guy step in and them signing him right after they loan him out kind of tells me that, you know, if anything happens to any of our fullbacks, he's going to get some PT for sure, especially in rotation.
Yeah, I think that's very possible, plausible. And also, I just wanted to shout him out because I'm pretty sure he also represented the U.S. at the Under-17 World Cup. So, you know, knowing that we also got a player that's already, you know, in youth national team camps and whatnot, it just kind of shows the progression of our academy and the fact that we're having, you know, we're having Thomas Williams, we're having Alex Freeman, we're having Mikey Holiday, we're having Tahir Reed Brown, these kind of players that are coming up from our youth ranks and are representing youth national teams, getting in on homegrown contracts. I just really want to kind of shout out the only two people that we haven't heard about their contract status yet, and that's Ricardo Moreira and Luis Muzzi for building out the academy. And really kind of turning that around into something that's productive as well, because yeah, we haven't built anybody really that's gone on to be a massive first team contributor yet. But I think the groundwork's really laid for, the new generation of the academy, and we're starting to see the fruits of that.
Yeah. And especially because the last couple of years we've seen increased signings. I was looking back the other day, and since Oscar came around, we've basically doubled the amount of homegrowns we've had on the roster at any given time. Last year, at one point, we had the record of 8 players. We're down to, I believe, 7 homegrowns right now, but it's still a lot of players that we're giving them the time to get the playing time. Some of them might get loaned back down to OCB, but they're getting those first team minutes. And we had a big sale last year. You're sending, I'm forgetting his name,
Granados
over to Europe after one appearance.
I don't think we sent him because of the one appearance, but I agree with you in regards to that. Because
no, that's also what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it was the appearance at the World Cup for him that really helped. But getting him minutes for us helped us say, okay, he played for us, we can sell him on.
Yep, and that was Alejandro Granados, who's now with Club Bruges in Belgium. And we were able to send him so young because he it wasn't actually the World Cup. It was the Euros, I think, with Spain. Sorry to be correcting you, but yeah,
I couldn't remember if it was under 20 World Cup or what. So
I think it was under 17 Euros, if I remember correctly. I might be wrong on that, but yeah, it was something to that degree. And he scored an absolute worldie for Spain. And then we shot him into the first team, and then he's a record sale from MLS Next Pro. So it was awesome stuff. But again, that's, again, just credit to the front office and the coaching staff for building out the academy the way that they have. And seeing the kind of development that we're getting there, because this is all part of it, you know.
Yeah. All right, last thing I want to talk about as far as acquisitions are concerned, one of the main things that Orlando City really does well, the draft, right? We have some historic, not just in Orlando, but in MLS draft pick luck with first Kyle Larin. We drafted Richie Larea. You know, and last year Duncan McGuire, and look what he did. So Orlando City has hit in the draft continuously. We didn't have that high of a pick this year like we usually do in that top 5 to 10 range, but we still you know, had a couple of guys that I think we like here. In the first round, in the 21st pick, we got Giorgio Kozoveski. I think I got that right. Kochevsky, maybe.
I think it's Kochevsky, out of Syracuse. Actually.
Kochevsky, yeah. It's a tongue twister for sure, but I should be able to dig deep and pronounce it right. I think it is Kochevsky, out of Syracuse. So we have him in the first round. He plays in the midfield, and then I think Mike, you wanted to talk about our second round pick.
He actually wasn't the second round pick, because what we did is we actually traded for the pick that we drafted Kochevsky with. I think we just traded some cash to get that pick because they wanted him. I think he's going to end up slotting in as being like the number four midfielder, behind Felipe and behind obviously Araujo and Cartagena. I think he will have a role to play. I don't think he's going to see a lot of minutes, but we can see him there. But Yutaro Sakata, who I believe we got from West Virginia, I think this kid's got something. You know, I think that looking at some of his tape, kid is shifty as a left-sided winger, has a real good shot on him, good footwork, ball clings to his foot. I feel like he was one of those players that we drafted him with the possibility of like, hey, maybe we don't get the Angulo purchase to go through. And that was the idea behind drafting him. But I think that he's going to be a player who might be able to play a factor, just because the kid seems like he's got a lot of talent. My only worry, obviously, is that, you know, if he's going to occupy an international slot or anything like that, I feel like that's something that could end up playing a factor. I don't know if we want to necessarily give a contract to an international out of college with no pro experience. But if that's the case, maybe we can get him into OCB or something like that. But it's also, he's kind of a cool story because the person who got him into the States from Japan and kind of helped represent him and stuff like that is a well-known in Orlando City circles, Dennis Chin. So I think that's something that's kind of a cool thing to bring around. Dennis Chin is always an awesome guy within the USL days. So just thought that's a kind of a cool thing, but no, I think this Sakata kid from West Virginia, I think he could be the diamond in the rough this year that ends up being the rookie that surprises us, that we know so well, Oscar has a habit of finding. So no, I'm excited about him. The guys from the later rounds, I don't know as much about, but I think these first two guys could be nice little pieces to add in for depth.
Now, what about the winger from last year? What's the guy's name that we drafted?
Shaq Muhammad.
Yeah, yeah. Are we going to, you think we'll see anything from him?
I mean, I hope so. He had some decent goal contributions with OCB and MLS Next Pro. He did go through a number change this offseason because Nico Ladero has taken the number 14. So Shaq is going to be rocking number 21 now, if I remember correctly. I did see a lot of offseason workouts with Shaq and like Thomas Williams. It looked like they were all working out together. But it was one of those things that with Shaq Muhammad, I wanted to, you know, I kind of preached a little bit when we drafted him that he was really good in college, but he was still super young. I think we drafted him and he was still 19. So I think he's like maybe 20 now, you know, he's still a young kid. There's still a lot of time for us to see him develop, but he's another one who has a, you know, I think there's a lot of excitement in what he will be able to offer. And hopefully we have a lot of, you know, we got a lot of draft stuff out there that we've done well with. And we continue to see that reward us. So.
Cool. Anything to add, Ryder?
No, I don't know much about these guys. I just know that I always go into the draft knowing that we're going to do something good because I can't think of us ever not having at least one good player that we can rely on. And going into this year, we've got a tough year, so having depth is going to be key.
For sure. Yeah, it's especially in the midfield. So we're hoping we can get something out of Kochevsky. Because right now we're one deep in the midfield, which we do two positions in, and it's not really a guy that can step in and play 90 minutes every match if somebody were to get injured. So as much as I love Felipe, just can't do it. All right, talk about our departures, and then we'll get into the tasty rumors. But we didn't have much as far as departures are concerned. We covered Mauricio. We covered Luca Petrasso. He got loaned to Series C in Italy. Triestina, you know?
The name of this club is a lot longer than that. I just don't want to put it in the document. But they're known as Triestina. And so he's gone for 6 months, and I don't believe I saw anything about any kind of possible extension. So I think they're kind of weighing their options. Mike, did you have something on that?
I believe that there actually is a purchase option on it.
Oh,
so there is a option for them to purchase him. I think it's for $400,000. So it's a low price, but Luca Petrasso, obviously Canadian. He also is Italian. That's why the transfer worked for him so easy with a name like Luca. I felt like that was pretty straightforward, but there you go. Knowledge.
And then the big departure of the offseason, other than our captain, was our longtime center back Antonio Carlos, breaking up the duo between him and Janssen. We kind of felt like it was coming, right? I mean, two older center backs. Antonio was hurt a lot of last year. Never really got his footing back after Schlegel kind of took the reins after Antonio had gotten hurt. But it was a move that, by the sounds of it, he had wanted for a while. He'd been trying to do it since the beginning of last year. So, you know, it was tough to see him go, but you know, if the player's happy and maybe we can look at getting an upgrade, then I'll be happy too. So, he goes to, Fluminense, the defending, Libertadores champions. So I'm sure he wasn't too thrilled about missing out on that if he would have been a part of that team. If we had made a move a little bit earlier, but 4 years, 106 appearances for us, 88 caps in the MLS. You know, shout out to Antonio Carlos. I'm sad to see him leave. I'm going to miss him. I'm going to miss his intensity, but it feels like something that if we can get, you know, the guy that we're looking at getting, I think it might be a good benefit to us and the best move for all parties. So, Ryder, you know, did that move hurt you at all to see Antonio leave?
Yeah, but I think it was in the end kind of good mutually because we're kind of approaching a full rebuild. And when it comes to the defensive side and letting him go if he wants to go, and he was on the bench, he was hurt, he had a lot of injuries the last couple of years, letting him go on his terms and having it be a transfer, I think it's good business. I think it's helpful to let players go when they need to move on. And in a lot of ways, we have moved on, at least in the fact that Schlegel had stepped up and he and Janssen were working just as well. I don't know how long that duo is going to be together, but I think that we can't just have these long-standing center back duos and not realize they're going to come to an end and we have to move on to what's next. And hitting the upgrade button and getting some younger that can replace Janssen in the next 2 years is crucial. Someone that can be the third center back that plays all these Wednesday games and gets a lot of minutes. I mean, Janssen played, did he play every single minute this year? So I don't know if he can replicate that again this year. I hope he could, but we need that depth.
Yeah, we definitely need to make a signing at center back, because even if Schlegel goes into the starter and you want to argue that he had a great second half of the season, aside from possibly costing us the chance at an MLS Cup title, losing an extra time because of his red card, really, to the team that would eventually go on and win the MLS Cup. You know, I'm not comfortable with just having Janssen and Schlegel and then what, Thomas Williams or Abdib Selim being the back. You know, that's a slippery slope. And then you go into a season with, you know, your backup center back being Abdib Selim, and then your two backup defensive mids in this really, really important empty bucket that we run with the two center backs or two defensive midfielders being Felipe and a 21st overall draft pick. Yeah, that's, you know, you're two injuries away from just really just being in a horrible position.
Things going really far sideways. Yeah. So yeah. I'm with you though on the Carlos sentiment. Like it seemed like it was time to go and make the change. Schlegel honestly did do really well filling in down the stretch, and I think that he earned the right to compete for that starting job. But I feel like all of us have the same sentiment of, we know that there's better out there. Like, we like Schlegel, we do appreciate him. He's the best backup center back, I think, in the league. Like, he is up there in that conversation as far as first center back off the bench. Yeah, as first center back off the bench for a team, he is probably the best one in the league. But do you necessarily want that one to be the one who's going to be starting every game for you? Not necessarily. And I feel like that's why we're looking. We have a target that we're trying to get in the building, who seems like he wants to come over. So.
Yeah, let's talk about that first. Well, as we open up our rumors section here, transfer rumors section, let's talk about David Brekalo from Slovenia. He's Slovenian. He's a really, really important player for Viking in Slovenia.
Norway.
And he's one of the best center backs in that league. Valued around $3 million, $3 to $4 million. I think Orlando City had started off with a $2 million bid, and the rumors are saying now they've upped it to about $2.8 million to get him. The rumors are also saying that he really wants to make the move to MLS. So we're hoping that we can sign him. It seems like on paper, right? When you look at the rumors, when you look at where he's from, you look at him pairing up with a guy like Robin Janssen. He's right-footed, although he plays primarily left back or left left center back where he's at right now. He's right-footed. It seems like it could be a really dynamic and dangerous center back duo. So I think that's why they're really, really going after him. Mike, can you tell us a little bit more about the player and the rumors?
Yeah, so he's 25 years old. He is coming off of a recent injury, but from everything that we've heard, he looks like he is healthy and ready to go now. You know, obviously, that's just what we know. Things could change. But it looks like he does want the move. One thing that we've noticed on Instagram, and, you know, this is our version of sleuthing. Shout out, Eddie. He's following Orlando City, and he's also following Ricardo Moreira. That means there's the rumors of them talking likely are legitimate if these guys are following each other on social media. the only thing that we'll say is things have gone quiet lately. So it could be one of those situations is maybe things are going quiet because things are moving, you know, since we heard that latest offer went in, we haven't heard anything, but I do want to say he's also kind of a goal dangerous center back. It seems like he, if you look at like his per 90 statistics, he's the kind of center back that you could expect maybe 5 goal contributions throughout a season from. So whether that be goals or assists, seems like he's good on set pieces. Again, you said in the Norwegian league last season, he was voted best center back in the league on a team that was contending for titles in that league. So I think that's something to keep in mind. And when you talk about like, look through some of the posts on like Twitter about the, from like Viking fans talking about him, they're upset at the prospect of losing him. And that's usually the best indication that you can find, is if fans of a team are upset about losing the player that you're linked with, that's how you know you're usually getting a pretty good one. Everything that I've seen about this guy seems like he would be an exciting player. It's one of those ones that I don't think it's like a player that like when we were linked with Dagger Dan last year and we saw him coming in, we're like, all right, well, he's playing in a lower league. He seems like he's got some sauce and he's going to be really good, but we really don't know what he's going to do or what to expect out of him. This one, you can kind of tell this guy's going to be a hard-nosed, no-nonsense center back, which means we might have a lot of yellow cards for Descent to go along with him and Janssen. But I think it, like you said, I think it could be a really good matchup. And we're just going to have a whole Nordic backline with Dagger Dan from Iceland. Then we got the Slovenian in Brekalo, who played at Viking. And then we got the big Swede in Janssen. So there's something about this, this back line that would be very, very interesting. We're going to need to go ahead and like get a long blonde wig or something for Santos, so that way he could fit in with all these Vikings that we have there. I'm very, very, very much hoping that this deal goes through. I think that a lot of our success this season hinges on us getting a really high quality center back. And I think this guy could be it.
Yeah. Or you could just dye his hair blonde like Duncan did. So that would work out well. We could have all blonde.
It's a look, man. It's a look.
Super Saiyan Duncan.
It's like yellow. It looks like he went to Supercuts to do it or something.
Hey, as someone who has dyed his hair many colors before, you got to use a toner, dude. Otherwise, it's going to come out super yellow. You got to use a toner to get it that Robin Janssen like white.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that would look better on Mr. Duncan. Ryder, any thoughts on the potential center back move?
So Brekalo, Vanderwater, and Janssen walk into a bar. That's it. I don't have the full joke yet. I'll have one by next week. Hopefully when we sign him. It's just fun.
Vanderwater leaves immediately.
I got the rest of the joke. Yeah. And then Vanderwater forgot something in this car and the other guys just hung out and had a good time.
Oh my. I think that he's a big promise, and having his threat on attack when we're doing those in balls and those corner kicks, he's got the height. He's not Antonio Carlos 6'3", but Brekalo is only 6'1". But if he's creative enough and he's likable, this fan base loves those kind of players. They love the heart and hustle and all that jazz. So I see why this is going round and round and we're making a big deal about counter offering. So I hope we get it done. I hope we can get him for a couple of years, because we alluded to having two Janssens yelling at the refs. If Janssen's going to be the captain this year, I think we need someone to replace his yelling and swearing at the ref energy.
Yeah, he's got to be the cool head now.
It's going to be good cop and bad cop. Or
my money's not on that happening. That's what
good Viking and bad Viking.
Then he'll just have a reason to talk to the ref even more. So. We talked about Duncan and his new hair gig. His transfer rumors are always going. I mean, you got a guy that had the prediction that he had last year, a young guy. The transfer rumors are always flaring with him. So he's been linked to a few different clubs in England now, Stoke and a couple in Turkey and the Netherlands maybe. He's being linked everywhere, you know, Duncan is. So I think a lot of it may be coming from him wanting a new contract with Orlando City. Obviously, when stuff gets leaked, usually it's true, or it's I want a new contract. When it gets leaked, I could do the air quotes because people see us now. But yeah, I mean, it's one of two things going on. I would surely love to keep Duncan. We're going to need him unless we had an immediate replacement. Because once again, you know, we're not super deep at that striker position. And if you lose him, you don't replace him. It's you go from last year having Cara, him, and Enrique to really just having Enrique up top. Anything to add on the Duncan rumors?
Well, I will say you're forgetting about MLS Next Pro MVP Jack Lynn. Honestly, I do hope that he gets more of a chance in actual MLS games just to, because dude's lit up Next Pro for the past two seasons. Like, hopefully, you know, not necessarily hopefully, but like, I would like to see him get some more chances to actually score goals for us. But I think a lot of it is that he wants a new contract. And I think that's 100% fair for him to want a new contract. If you look at what he's getting paid, and for those that don't know, you can go to literally the MLS PA website and you can find the salary guide and see what salaries players are getting paid. Duncan's making, I think, $70,000 a year, maybe $77,000 a year. It's not a lot of money on his rookie contract. And for someone who scored 13 goals last year in league play, 15 overall, and got us to sell a player that we were paying $2 million a year to score goals, I'd want a damn new contract too. I don't blame him for it. Yeah. And frankly, like, I think it's one of those things that it's in our best interest to get him on a new contract too, because if there are going to be teams that want to buy him, us having him on a new contract with more guaranteed years on it gives us more stability to demand a certain amount of money for him. I do think that there is the possibility of selling high right now with him, in the fact that he did outperform expectations by a lot. So if someone comes in with a high offer, I could see them deciding to go ahead and sell. But it's going to be, you know, what's that number that they don't say no to? And does a team meet it? Because you mentioned Stoke. Blackburn is another team that was interested. We also heard of Molenbeek, which is in Belgium. I think Utrecht in Holland. And Molenbeek, I believe, is also owned by the same owners that own Lyon and Crystal Palace in the Premier League. So it's one of those things that it could be like Molenbeek. They send him to Molenbeek, but realistically, he's a Lyon player or something like that. So I don't know. It's a lot of interesting things around him. I think that he's still going to stay, but definitely get that kid a new contract ASAP, like yesterday.
Especially with the likes of him getting called up to the national team. He's already had a lot of great performances for the U23s and in support of preparation for the Olympics. I'm a little bitter at Greg Berhalter for not giving him more minutes during the recent friendly, but again, it's Camp Cupcake. It's not a great time to show off his skill. I think that the time where he is going to shine and where we're going to be thankful that we put him on a longer term contract, making him happy to either stay or move him on at a high price, is the likelihood that he's going to start for the U.S. in Paris this summer. Yeah, we're going to miss him for the however long he's gone for the tournament, but if he can get in there and score some goals and show the world that he's a great player, I don't see him. I don't know if he ever even gets on the plane back, if he just heads straight to Lyon or whatever.
Ryder, you're going to have to join a long line of people who are pissed off at Greg Berhalter. Just gonna
go. Oh, don't I mean I can't, totally I don't have the energy for that rant today, because I haven't been able to watch a U.S. men's national team game the same way since he was announced again. I enjoyed getting to watch the Gold Cup this summer, but after that, it's just been like, oh gosh, stupidity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result, and then having a guy step away and then rehiring him. It ain't it. Ain't it. That's it. That's all I got to say about that.
All right. We're going to speed it up here. We're going to make some time. But the biggest rumor that have come out, and not really because of the player, well, maybe because of the players, but because of the potential of what it could do to our roster, is Martin Ojeda and Gaston Gonzalez. Rumors coming out. Gaston possibly going home to Argentina.
Nope.
No?
No, they're sending him to Nacional.
Nacional, that's right. That's Ojeda going home to Argentina. Because
you got to
play for Boca Juniors. I mean, Boca Juniors is Boca. You know, if they want him, you're Argentine, you're not going to say no to that. His dad, Ojeda's dad, comes out today or yesterday and says, you know, basically it's giving smoke to the fire, saying that it is an actual rumor that it's confirmed. And if he has the opportunity to go play for them, that's what he wants to do, because it could give him a chance to get on the Argentina national team. I don't know about all that, but you know, it gives him a chance. So, you know, it gives him a chance to do that. And you know, it's every Argentinian kid's dream to go play for Boca or River Plate. So if they make the call, you gotta listen. There was a rumor today that we're not going to take less than 10 million. I'd be happy with that. But Mike, tell us a little bit about more. Give us the roster rundown, because that's what people are interested in. If we got rid of Ojeda or loaned out or transferred Gaston.
Okay. So putting me on the spot to go through all this, but I think I got it. So if we keep things the way that they are right now, we have three U22 initiative slots used. We have two DPs used. Facundo Torres is no longer a young DP, which means if we want to add a third designated player, it either needs to be a restricted DP, which is under that 1.7 million salary range, or it needs to be a young DP who is 23 years of age or younger. If we were to move Martin Ojeda on loan, nothing changes. The only way that a designated player on loan will open up a new designated player slot is if we're getting paid the same amount of money that we used to transfer that player in to loan them out. We spent, I think, $4.5 million to bring in Ojeda. We're not getting a loan fee of $4.5 million. So it's not going to open anything up. So if I'm the front office, if Boca Juniors wants him on loan, the answer is hard no. It's as no as a no could be. If we got him on a... If we did sell him, I don't think $10 million is what we're going to get. Production wasn't enough with our league last year, and he wasn't a regular starter. I don't think we really have the standing to ask for that sum of money. But we'll see what happens. But before I go back to Ojeda, let's talk a little bit about Gaston. So Gaston is one of our U22 initiative players. The other two, Cesar Araujo and Ramiro Enrique. If we loan out Gaston, which right now we're talking about loaning him to Nacional, which is the new home of Mauricio Pereira as well, so he could go back with Mauricio. If we do loan out Gaston Gonzalez, which we've heard from some sources that it is completed, it's already done, it's going to be announced when this podcast is out. We've heard from other sources saying it's not done, it's just an option right now, they don't know if they're going to do it. Some of the sources that are saying it's done, I kind of trust a little bit more. But I digress about that. But essentially, if we do loan him out, that does free up one of the U22 slots. Now, the way that the DP rule works is if we have three full DPs, we can only have one U22 initiative slot. So if we clear one U22 out, in theory, we could buy one of those U22s down, and that would give us the ability to go ahead and have a full DP for that third slot. So there's a lot of possibilities here with these moves. I think the Martin Ojeda one is potentially the most interesting, just because of the fact that I think he could really do bits as a 10 this year. And I want to see him succeed and take that jump forward. But at the same time, I do think that loaning out Gaston is not a bad idea. Ever since we got him coming in off of injury, I don't feel like he really looked like the tape that we saw before we purchased him. And especially considering that purchase went through and then he got hurt. It was kind of a rough situation for us. This is the last year of Gaston's contract. So it's one of those things that maybe just, you know, loan him out, see if it works out for him. And get him into a different situation. Obviously, I do want to see all of our things work out with all of our players, but I think that if there's a way that we can open up that third DP spot and the Wilfs want to spend money on it, that's what's going to turn our team into being a really, really good team to being a damn juggernaut. So I'm really curious to see what happens.
Yeah, I really don't want to lose Ojeda. You know, you're going to have to bring somebody in, and then it's going to take him till the midsummer to even have a chance of getting adjusted to the team. It feels like it really put a damper on the potential for our season, in my opinion. So I hope we don't lose him. But I can also understand going to Argentina, playing for Boca Juniors, there's an opportunity you can't pass up, you know, especially if they're going to pay $10 million. So it would open up a DP slot. If we get rid of both these guys, you're talking about maybe having two DP slots open, because you could get rid of Ojeda and then buy down one of the U-22s and then have two full DP slots open. And I just don't see the team being able to fill those roles effectively for this season. And with Ricardo and Muzy still not being extended, it makes me nervous. It makes me nervous because, you know, it could lead to a bad season and then losing them. And all hell breaks loose. So I don't want to see Ojeda go. And I think that would be the first cookie that would fall. I would like to see Gaston go only, buy down the U-22 slot, and then get a full DP-10. Although, to be fair, before these rumors surfaced, we were kind of told, you know, we had insight that don't get too excited about the third DP slot. You know, it's not going to be a banging signing. So that's kind of what we were hearing, and everything lined up with that. Ryder, anything to add, bud?
It's interesting because with Facundo, all that's gone on with Facundo, and there were minutes where he was linked to a possible move, but it sounds like he's staying, and that makes it more interesting. But what if we change our minds in the summer and Facundo comes out starting good and people come calling again and offer us something we can't refuse? If we send Ojeda away, it's almost worse that we started with Facundo and sent Ojeda away, and then we could have had Ojeda to step in. Like, I don't know. It's not ideal to send them both away. I agree. Gaston is just would be good to send away and free that space up. But even if Ojeda is going to start the year on the bench or is just going to be coming in as a backup number 10 in some way, I think he needs to stay. So, and if we're not going to be making a splash like the rumor, weren't we linked for a hot minute with Divock Origi or something crazy like that? And yeah, I don't think that a splash like that is something that we would do unless we're going to go absolutely nuts with selling and getting some of these guys off our books.
So I'll just add my two cents on Divock Origi real quick. I just don't see us making that move, first off, because I don't think he really fits the team well. And there's also rumors that he wants Christian Benteke money to come here. Christian Benteke is making $4.5 million a season. We're not paying that for Divock Origi. It's just everything in Orlando says that's not happening. So
I love Divock Origi, and I wouldn't want him. He's too old. He's not going to be productive in this league. Isn't he in his early 30s?
He's 28.
Oh, I thought he was like 31 to 32.
I don't think he tracks back well. I don't think he plays much defense. I don't think he is the, you know, and I know it's a nine, but he's not a presser. And I just.
Saying all the Poppy buzzwords.
Yeah, I don't think he fits in with Poppy. It feels like another guy that we're going to sit and then have Jacqueline start over when we get rid of Duncan McGuire. You know, just I'm done with those type of strikers. So, all right. At an hour. This thing's got a timer now on us, so it's making me feel. Making
Cleon's dream.
Aren't you already glad, Mike, that we bought the pro? Because look at this. We'd be duped already. First show.
First show. We'd already be ruined.
We're getting our money's worth already. So, all right. Let's talk about our last little point here, and then we'll get into our shout outs. Our preseason schedule. I'm not going to lay out the whole preseason schedule, but it starts this weekend, right? We have Flamengo at home at Exploria.
Yeah, that's one piece of news we didn't cover.
We didn't talk about
Orlando City Stadium.
Yeah, at Orlando City Stadium, now Interco Stadium.
On extra time, Andrew Wiebe said he wants to call our stadium the ampersand. And I'm like, you know what? I'm kind of cool with that.
Yeah.
I'm in. Cool.
Other than the actual name, I mean, I'm happy about the money that we got for it. But
big increase in money. That is true.
It's a it's a cost. I mean, we're giving up something for that money. Usually for the stadium name, you don't give up nothing. You just give up to putting the plaster on the stadium. But there is some people will say, I don't think anybody can say, oh, this has nothing. I don't care about anything about this. Some people care a lot about it. Some people may care minusculely about it. But I think everybody has a piece in their heart that is kind of disgusted by the name. But whatever, we got the money.
Question, though, that I was thinking about the other day, because I've been waiting on a jersey for 2.5 weeks from Fanatics. And I'm terrified the jersey's going to show up and it's going to say Inter and Co. on the side. Do we know if they're also a sleeve sponsor? Because Exploria was a sleeve sponsor.
Exploria was only a sleeve sponsor during the pandemic, like during the pandemic era games. And Exploria hasn't been on the sleeves for years.
I hope not. Let's not jump down that hole, because that would be even more devastating.
This is what I'm nervous about.
So Flamengo on Saturday. Get your tickets on Ticketmaster. You can get it through OrlandoCity.com, OrlandoCitySC.com, and go support the boys. I'm sure there's going to be a ton of Brazilians there. It's going to probably be mostly Flamengo fans, a Brazilian powerhouse coming in to Orlando.
Brazilian tourism city.
Yeah. So there'll be a bunch of them here at the game. It'll be a fun game. I just hope everybody stays healthy. That's all I care about in preseason, to be honest with you, is everybody just staying healthy. The guys can gel as they go. But we're returning a lot of this team. We know what we're going to get. So main point, just stay healthy. And then on, you know, we have a preseason scrimmage against Rhode Island. It's closed door. But if you guys didn't get the email, Society 21, if you're an original season ticket holder, if you're going into your 10th year this year holding season tickets, you are eligible to pick up some tickets for the February 10th scrimmage against New England at home. So go online. That's on Saturday. Claim your tickets. You should have got an email. Claim your tickets and show up. It's free. A couple of us will be there, I believe. And we'll be showing out. So if you want to go there and sit with us, hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and we'd love to join you and check out the team in the preseason against New England. All right, shout out.
Can I add something real quick before we go to shout outs?
Yes.
Last
has nothing to do with Inter and Co.
It does not. No, technically, last preseason game is our first game of the CONCACAF Champions Cup. We haven't gotten a chance to mention anything about that, but we are going to be playing in Vancouver, British Columbia, instead of Calgary, against Cavalry FC of the Canadian Premier League. That is on the 21st. I do know some people already got their away day tickets to go all the way to the Couve, as they called it. At least they did in How I Met Your Mother. But super excited to be back in the competition this year. And if we take down cavalry, we might be setting up a date with our old pals in Tigris.
One can only hope.
According to Evan Weston, he said that that's everything that the team wants, is to play, have another crack at Tigris. So just wanted to add that, that technically before our MLS season starts, we're already starting CONCACAF Champions Cup. So that'll be another thing, another just a little exciting bit. And now I'll pass it back over to Alex.
Yeah, I would love Tigres for sure, but we got to get through Cavalry first. It's a team that we should beat, and those are the teams I hate to play, especially in a home and home. And we got to go 9,000 miles across the continent, literally across the entire continent.
Three matches in a week to start the season, man.
I believe it is the second longest trip in the opening round of the tournament. I believe New England has to travel further. But it's the second longest trip in the opening round of the CONCACAF Champions Cup this year.
It's got to be one of the longest trips in world soccer, to be honest, and all of the entire world. What do we have to do? That's why it's important to stay healthy in these preseason games, so we don't show up and lose to them. All right, shout outs. I'm going to start by saying I hate kickers.
Shout out right in the pit. There it goes.
Shout out the National Football League. Kickers suck. They should get more that are from the MLS, because that was the only good kicker I saw all year for the Dallas Cowboys. Andrea Carlson, not sure how that guy even got drafted. Dude made like 3 of 18 in college from 50 plus and then loses the game for the Packers. And then Tyler Bass. I mean, come on, my man. The wind's blowing left to right. Just act like you at least can stick, lick your finger and put it in the air. I mean, come on, dude. But I got news for Bills fans. Y'all ain't gonna, you weren't winning that game anyways. Tying up the game, leaving Mahomes a minute and 50 seconds to get a field goal, that don't work. So it's not even the kicker's fault. But no matter what, still, I hate kickers. Played football in high school, my senior year. One quarter playoff to go to the playoffs, 8-2. The other Oak Ridge scored first, got the PAT. We scored. Kicker kicked the ball into the back of the long snapper's head, and that's how my high school football career ended after 4 years. So kickers, never really been a fan.
This is a safe space, Alex. This is a safe space.
Never been a fan. Never been a fan. Hate the kickers. Kickers, I get better. Especially in the league. You're in the league.
This is a time for us to go ahead and shout out our new sponsor, BetterHelp. If you need therapy and have things you need to talk about, BetterHelp.com.
Please sponsor us.
I should, because 14 years later and it still stinks.
I heard that.
Summertime sadness brought to you by.
That speech is coming from a deep, recessed place.
Oh, you have no idea. Ryder, give us a more upbeat shout out.
We can see the sadness in your eyes on YouTube now, Alex. It's really bad. Yes, I do have a much more positive one, because this winter has been a magical time in Southwest Florida for soccer. I have for many years campaigned in various ways to bring a professional lower division soccer team down here. We've got a completely empty baseball stadium in downtown Fort Myers. It was once the home of the Red Sox during spring training before they moved to their new stadium. City of Palms Park, and it has been used as a local college softball stadium ever since. And it seats 7,000 people. And just a couple weeks ago, the Fort Myers the city board voted to, instead of tearing it down, convert it into a soccer stadium and bring an MLS Next Pro franchise to the city of Fort Myers. And not a week later, what comes up in Naples, just right where I'm living, but a USL League One franchise was expansion franchise was also announced for 2025. So it is very possible that next year I have not one, but two professional soccer teams in my town, in my home. And I've been looking forward to this for so long because it's a good environment. We've got a lot of young families. The local hockey team always draws out a big crowd. It's going to be so much fun. The launch party's on Saturday. I will definitely be there. And if there are any local listeners, please say hi, because we've looked forward to this day for a long time.
Yeah, it's who exciting. Knows? How far is the stadium from where you live?
Stadium's about 20 minutes from my house, right before Alligator Alley actually turns. It's right there. It's right off the highway. It's good for travel. We've got the local airport now, and the city that's Paradise Coast Sports Complex, very popular for a lot of like scouting trips for college football with high school players coming down, and then a lot of soccer tournaments are held there. And there's they finished during COVID a 3,500 seat stadium that's gorgeous, dedicated to soccer. So it's going to be awesome. Right. And then obviously, City of Palms Park is, I believe, 7,000 people. So I'm sure they'll rope that off to about 5,000 to 6,000 for MLS Next Pro. But it's even cool that it's MLS. There's an MLS, going to be an independent MLS team in Fort Myers. There was a bidding war between USL and MLS. It was very interesting.
They must see something down there for sure. Mike?
All right, mine's soapbox time. So there was a lot of talk this offseason about change in roster rules and salary regulations. What's going to get changed? What's going to not get changed? And it turns out they decided to change jack squat. Nothing happened. No increase in salary cap. No change in DPs, allocation money, nothing. Just sticking with what the CBA was there, which is fine. I understand them not changing that as much as like, this was a good, perfect opportunity to do it because the players have to agree to it. A new CBA has to be ratified. It's not cut and dry like everyone wanted to make it out to be. I get that. But there were still so many things that could have been done that were super simple to make rosters better and stronger. And the easiest thing that they could have done, and this is something that absolutely could have been done by a couple, I've heard other people say this should have been done and this needs to be done, is the amortizing of transfer fees into player cap hits. So what that basically means, for those that don't know, if you pay a fee to bring a player in, not only do you pay them their salary, but against the salary cap, you also have to factor in their transfer fee. So if you pay $3 million for a player and you sign him to a three-year contract, it's his salary plus $1 million is what hits the cap. It's the most stupid thing in the world. No other leagues do it, as far as I know, at least no other capped leagues. And it's the thing that's holding us back. Realistically, these roster things we're talking about earlier, but going into this season, Martin Ojeda and Facundo Torres, both of their salaries were under max TAM, which means they were under that $1.7 million is what they were earning. The only thing making them DPs was their transfer fees. We would have had realistically the amount that's part of the reason why, like when you look at the Athletic articles about which team is spending the most money, Orlando City's got the cheapest payroll in the league. We spent a lot on transfer fees, and that's something that like kind of bites us in the butt when it comes to salary cap stuff. But get rid of transfer fees factoring into salary cap hits. It's like the easiest thing that the league could do is to get rid of that crap. Make it easy, and it's going to make so many things infinitely better. I don't understand why we're still stuck with having things that way, but I'm ready for it to go. I think it's the dumbest thing in the world, and you'll hear me talk about it plenty more times. I can promise you that. So.
You're talking about me getting help seeing a shrink. Maybe you should talk to somebody.
I've talked to Twitter a little bit.
Transfer.
Yeah, I talked to MLS Moves. And he doesn't like me anymore because I told him that he's an idiot and he was wrong. So shout out to him too. Okay. He doesn't listen to the show.
He's an idiot, whatever. So
hey, you were there too. Right. You also told him he was an idiot and he was wrong.
Yeah, well, some people don't know what they're talking about. But yeah, so without the amortization of fees, you're looking at the fact that we had zero DPs actually making over that 1. However many million last year. So
exactly.
Yeah, what could be? So for sure. All right. Anybody else? Anything else to add? I think that was a good show.
Great yeah, show. Just announce extensions for Muzy and Ricardo already.
Are they working for free at this point? I mean, who's making
They had a club option, so we can assume that option's been exercised.
Announced it was a mutual option, like
yeah.
So who knows? But extend them forever. Come on, get that crap done.
Especially with what happened in Kansas City.
Yeah. Oh God, don't
Mike. Have you figured out this has a bleep feature or?
No, it doesn't. I'm looking for the button. It's not there. So
yeah. Well. Need to write them. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. We appreciate you guys. We will be back. I think we're lining up old new guest for next week or the week after to talk about the off season. We're hoping to get more news by then for the said guest that we are excited to have on. And we'll be talking mainly about those potential moves on that show. So next week or the week after, and then we're going to hop right into it with the pregame podcast in a couple weeks for Champions Cup, CCC, Triple C now. So exciting news. But thank you guys for listening. We appreciate you guys as always. Thank you guys for joining us again for our sixth season as we start it out. Here on Orlando Lions Den, we're excited to be back with you guys. And as always, vamos, Orlando.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Orlando Lions Den podcast. Don't forget to follow us at Orlando Lions Den on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. See you next week in the Den.